Welcome to Transcending Identity. I'm your host, Nicole Lee, and I am thrilled to be your guide on this incredible journey of self-discovery and transformation. This podcast is designed to help you connect deeper with yourself and transcend the identities, beliefs, and environments that may be holding you back from living your best life. Through insightful interviews, thought-provoking discussions, and practical advice, I speak with incredible people from around the world who share their stories of transformation, transcendence, and triumph. From entrepreneurs to spiritual teachers, athletes to activists, you'll learn how they overcame obstacles and reached new heights in their lives. I will also share my personal stories, insights, and tools along the way. By listening to this podcast, I hope you feel seen, supported, and inspired to live your best life. Thanks for spending time with me today. Your time to transcend starts now. Hey, love. I am so happy you're here. Welcome to another episode of Transcending Identity. Have you ever wrestled with jealousy or insecurity within your relationships? I know I have. Well, my amazing guest for this episode is Shannon Bryant, who's a relationship coach, entrepreneur, podcast host, and dynamic speaker who is a passionate advocate for building self-worth and navigating relationship hurdles. As a creator of the Top Self podcast, she engages in candid discussions about topics like insecurity, jealousy, and self-belief. She's carved her own path through these struggles, and she's here to share her wisdom with us. Shannon takes us on an enlightening journey, starting with her personal experience with overcoming insecurities fueled by past trauma. Shannon then gives us a glimpse into her work with clients, highlighting the importance of addressing trauma and jealousy head on. And she shares how confronting these issues can lead to improved relationships and overall well-being. Shannon also delves deeper into the topics of vulnerability and self-belief and talks about her own journey of self-belief transformation and how it has brought about positive changes in her life and with her clients. She also shares practical steps to address jealousy and insecurity, drawing from her own toolkit of techniques. And finally, we explore the importance of seeking support and connection on your relationship journeys. By the end of my chat with Shannon, I hope you feel better equipped to create loving and supporting relationships with self and others. Hey, Shannon, welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm excited, Nicole. Happy to be here.
Yay. I'm excited to have you on. And so what brought you into this work? What had you go into the relationship coaching work?
Yeah. My gosh, if somebody would have said 8 years ago that I'd be helping people overcome insecurity and jealousy in their relationship, not me. I was struggling so bad with it myself because I grew up, so my father was an alcoholic and it was a very violent, very difficult upbringing. And I think with that came a lot of just inherent insecurities. You know, my parents got divorced when I was 12. My dad was still drinking. And I said, I don't want to have anything to do with you as long as you're drinking. You know, at 12, I said this and I didn't realize at the time what a big statement it was, what a stance it was.
Yeah.
But he took that to heart and I didn't talk to him again until I was 25. And that was just briefly. And then I didn't really have any type of a relationship with him until just these past 3 years, the last 3 years of his life. We were able to build this beautiful relationship. But growing up without a dad that was a part of your life, this story that I just kept telling myself about, well, gosh, if my own dad doesn't love me, I'm not worthy of being loved by anybody else. Who else is going to love me? And this person who was supposed to be in my life, who was supposed to be my protector, and my rock isn't there. And so then I question anybody's, like, are they going to stay? So I struggle with it a lot. And then, you know, I finally, after I met my husband, I said, I can't do this anymore. He's such a great man. I'm so tired of feeling like this. I have to fix this. I have to move past this. And so that's when I started to dig in and figure out, how do I turn down the volume on this insecurity? And I've been working on it ever since. And now helping other people.
Wow. So your personal
experience and desire to heal yourself and heal your relationships really ignited really this new opportunity to help other people that wasn't really on your radar. And I think that's what's so beautiful sometimes with the experiences that we have. We don't realize it actually can move us into a calling or a purpose that we didn't recognize was there. And it sounds like that's what happened for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, I think you share in this too with losing your mom and mm-hmm. kind of going to this place of, well, this is sending me in some other direction that I had no idea my life was going to go in. And the most beautiful thing, I think, what the most rewarding thing is going, wow, I can help other people and help them what they're going through. So this pain that I've went through isn't for nothing. At least right. I'm helping other people.
Yeah. So how did you go through the process of helping yourself that then led to you now helping other people? What did that process look like for you?
Growing up until I was in my 40s, it didn't matter what room I was in. I always had this story that I would tell myself, I'm the dumbest person in the room. Mm. I'm the ugliest person. I'm not funny. I'm not as funny as these other people. I don't dress as well as the other people. I don't have as much money. I mean, everything was, I was bottom of the barrel, no matter what mm-hmm. room I was in. And I started to realize, well, I don't know why I continue to compare myself to other people. And it surely can't be every room that I'm in. I can't be the least funny person in every room.
Right.
But it really started, you know, of course I landed on a therapist couch more than once. And through that, I actually got kicked out of therapy, Nicole.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, can we switch to that a bit? Yeah. What did that look like for you?
Yeah, this was probably the third therapist that I went to. Okay. Two of them I went on my own. I always knew that it was a me issue, that it was something that I needed to fix. But this third one, I thought, well, I'm going to drag him along because he's really suffering too. You know, at the time we weren't married, but I thought, well, he probably needs to come too. And maybe that'll give him some insight into why I am the way that I am.
Oh, your fiance because, at the time.
Yes, and not my fiance husband. At okay. the time. Because this was really affecting him too. I mean, I was so jealous and insecure that it got to the point we couldn't go to a restaurant together. We couldn't go to the movies anymore. I mean, without getting into this huge argument because of my jealousy. So I'm like, well, he needs to understand me. So I'm going to drag him along. And it didn't work because I was in that stage of like, well, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Like, mm-hmm. whatever, you know, I didn't have the belief in me that I actually held all of the answers, that I actually am the one that needed to figure it out and to think through it and to make that first step. I just wanted the instructions, like just give mm-hmm. me step one, step two, step three. And then we would have like the same argument. So we'd argue, have the initial argument, and then we go to therapy and have the argument, you know, play out the argument. And then we'd argue about anything that came up in therapy. So we're like, okay, this doesn't feel like it's working. And she certainly agreed. And it was really at that point where I think even though I knew it was me, I still wanted to blame everyone else.
Yeah.
And show everyone else why they like what they were doing was affecting me. And so it got to the point where she said, you know, this is, and she was nice about it, you know, kind of politely asked us not to reschedule, to schedule again.
Wow.
Like, you are beyond my expertise. But what she did do was give me the ACA laundry list, Adult Children of Alcoholics. Mm-hmm. It's this laundry list okay. of behavioral characteristics that people have that grew up with a parent or grew up in an environment where there was alcohol. And when I saw that list, Nicole, I was like, oh, there's a list? Like, this is all me. Check, 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 check,
wow.
check.
You know,
13 yeah. of 14. And that made me think, well, that means that I'm not the only one. I can't be the, I didn't write this list. So there are other people that have experienced this. They know what it is. Then that also must mean there's a solution. So that really long version of how it catapulted me into digging in.
Yeah. I mean, that piece, what I heard from what you were saying was one, and I think this is very common. We're so used to someone giving us the answer or the prescription to fix it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we yeah. come from so much of a fix it culture. So even though you're in that pain, that's very natural for people when we sometimes even going to a doctor, right? Like, just give me the answer, give me the pill that's going to fix the problem, and recognizing that you had to go internally. The other part that I heard is finally feeling seen. So it sounds like even though you were trying to explain to other people and having people be in your environment to help understand you, the list actually helped you feel more seen. And did that also give you kind of a tool to help explain what was happening to you? It sounds like that was a piece that was somewhat missing.
Yeah, there was so much explained in just reading the list. You know, one of them, and I don't have it word for word, but one of them is, you know, that you're shy and intimidated by authority figures. My whole life, I just thought that, you know, I felt that, and it made me feel small around people that either I really respected or that I was even, you know, that I was attracted to, or that seemed like they had more money than me. So what I was comparing myself to, like, I was going to that comparison mode when it really was because of the fear I felt with my father, because of that, I just have that innately in me. So once I realized, like, wait a second, it's more about my fear of my dad, and then translating that into every male figure or everyone that I felt like was above me or more authoritative than me. So then it was just easier. That's just one example, but then it was easier to go, well, that's not true. You know, that I don't have to be worried or side seat to this person.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, that we don't always recognize how traumatic those types of experiences are to then be able to explain why they're showing up. And it sounds like you were able to connect the dots between those traumatic experiences with your father and literally how it was showing up in your life. Sometimes I feel like we don't always have the language, which also creates more frustration and even isolating ourselves because we can't explain to other people what those experiences look like. So was that similar for you? You kept feeling like you didn't have the language?
Yeah, I love that you said, I don't have the language, because I tried to explain it, you know, to my fiance so many times. But I just couldn't get across like how it was all connected. And to someone who doesn't understand, hearing it from someone who can't explain it well, it sounds like an excuse. Like, it sounds like this excuse to be this way. And I knew it was coming off that way. And I think it's human for people to go, okay, if you can't understand it yourself or even make that connection yourself, it's really hard to get somebody else to do it. But then I was able to take those things and say, man, this is even affecting my career. Cause when you have even just that one of 14 things of, I get nervous and I play small when I'm around authority figures. When I'm in the boardroom, I'm not being myself and I'm not giving my ideas and I'm not showing my creativity and what's in me because I'm playing small. I still am carrying that. So when we do this work, it's, spills over, as you know, into all other parts of your life.
You start to connect the dots. You brought up the fact around excuses. I think we also have a culture because we weren't educated on the impacts of trauma, what it does to our minds, our bodies, the way we show up in the world, gotten very comfortable with saying, oh, it's an excuse, just get over it. Or, you know that happened to you. Now you should just be able to do X. And that's just not the reality, you know? Yeah. And I think that's why so many people, and I'm sure with your clients, have that sense of suffering because they've heard that over and over and over again. And you feel a bit defeated. So I'm curious with your clients, is that what they also have felt?
Yeah. And especially with what I, you know, my specialty is jealousy in relationships. And that is something that's really hard for someone to share. These women are embarrassed by it. They're ashamed of it. And men too. They're ashamed of it. They don't want to talk about it. And even when they do, they try to talk maybe to a friend or a family member. If those people have never experienced it in this way, they don't understand. And so they do hear a lot like, oh my gosh, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard to be upset about. Like, why would that upset you? Or like you said, get over it. And it's like telling somebody, okay, you need to start today writing beautifully with your left hand. Mm. I've had these habits and these things that have played in my mind and the habits that I have developed because of them over years. And so for somebody to say, get over it, like you're an adult, get over it. Now it's an impossibility. You know, if I told you you had to write with your non-dominant hand and it had to be beautiful, you can't do it on the first try.
Yeah. So let's talk more about what you offer in helping with your specialty in the area of jealousy and the relationships. Do you work with clients one-on-one? Do you work in pairs, groups? Do you have a coaching program? What does that look like?
Yes, I do both. I have one-on-one clients. And then because again, a lot of times they're not quite comfortable yet sharing. So we work one-on-one, or it's just they want to go deeper than the 8-week group coaching program that I have. But I do have that as well. That group coaching, I try to keep them fairly small, 5 to 7 people in that group coaching, just because that's a lot to, it's a lot of vulnerability happening in those groups. But it's such a beautiful thing. I love the group coaching because you can watch about session number 3 is people are like, okay, these are actually my people. And they understand me and they're talking in the same, as you said, the same language as me. I don't feel so embarrassed. And to see them opening up with each other and then being able to get support from one another, not just in the teaching that we're doing inside the program, but then from each other.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned vulnerability, and that can be so difficult. And it's a word we hear all the time, right? Vulnerability is strength. Hearing it and applying it are two different things. What have you done personally in your life to get to a point that you can be more vulnerable and share your story? And how does that play out in how you help others in, mm-hmm. in showing their vulnerability so they can move forward and live the life that they desire?
It is so hard. And I remember the first time telling my mom what I had experienced as a child and how insecure I felt, because I appeared to be the confident kid. I was the middle child. I appeared to be the confident one, and I'm the only female. My mom bragged and bragged about how confident I was and how ironic that I'm the female and I'm that confident and I'm the most outgoing. And internally, that was not the case. So telling for the first time, even my friend, my mom, my fiance, here are the things that are the truth that are going on with me was the hardest thing. But once you do it, and then it just like, okay, it's one foot in front of the other. There's this relief that comes from just saying it even the first time, and then to say it again and again, and it gets easier. And when I started my podcast, I thought I'm going to have to, you know, I understand what it's like to keep this inside. So I'm going to do it for people. And hope that that encourages them. Like, okay, I'll do it. I'll tell all of our dirty secrets. I'll tell, you know, our thoughts that we have and you know, what's going on within us. I'll tell it in hopes that that gives other people the courage to then at least open up and say it for themselves.
Your podcast, the Top Self Podcast, started with you sharing your experiences of jealousy in relationships. Was that a way for a sense of you even expanding your vulnerability? It's one thing to share with a few friends and family, But like, you talk about a bold move to put some, you know, something out in the airways.
Yeah, you're right, Nicole, because, and as the podcast grows and gets more popular, you're like, oh man,
like, there were a few, okay. Now there are thousands that are
right.
listening
there
to
this. There were just only like a few people listening. Now there's a lot more than that. So yeah, I mean, it was hard in the beginning, but I think that is how any healing happens, really. You know, it's that step by step, baby steps. And so almost in the podcast of it being that way, where you don't really have an audience in the beginning, it's like, okay, let me just tell this story that I did, you know, see if anybody relates. And so then it's like, okay, well, let me tell this story too. Because when you get that feedback from people of like, oh, my gosh, I've never heard anybody talk about it this way, or it's, you could be, you know, could be telling my story. It sounds so familiar. That really gives you, when you know that you're touching other people and letting them see and experience the same thing that I experienced when I got that ACA laundry list and felt like, oh, there are other people. I am not alone. When I'm getting that feedback and I hear like, thank you for making me not feel so alone, that's what keeps me going and being vulnerable. I, you know, there's just this past January, my husband and I went to Costa Rica, and I had, you know, I coach it, I talk about it on the podcast, and I had my own moment of a little slide back in the jealousy on a beach. It was not pretty. And in that moment, I thought, oh my gosh, I have to shut the whole thing down. How can I, you know, how can I tell people and help people do this thing when I've just experienced it again for myself and I'm not 100% there? And it took me a few days to go, wait a second. That's what it's about, right? Sharing that. What if somebody else has a setback? I had many setbacks. I don't want someone to think, oh, I've had a setback. I'm just ruined and I give up. So that was probably my most vulnerable moment of saying, I'm going to share this experience so that when other people go through it, and that really, you know, catapulted after that of, oh my gosh, thank you for doing that.
Yeah. And it's so interesting to the pressure that you can sense and feel when you are in the position, whether it's a coach, a healer, or teacher, right? Like this perception that we're always going to have it right. And though mm-hmm. that we're, just because you're teaching on something or helping another person doesn't mean that we're fully cured, right? Because we're a human.
I don't ever want to get too far away from it, in a sense of, I want to still be able to be understanding. I think a good coach is being able to kind of tap back into that experience and that understanding and that emotion that you know the other person is going through. So in a sense, I feel like, wow, you know, that happened to help me further in mm-hmm. being a good coach, being a good teacher of this, being a good listener to someone. So yeah, when you, you know, when you hear like, oh, how can you do that if you're still struggling? I actually feel the opposite.
And that's beautiful. A key piece that you mentioned a few times about helping people not feel alone, and it also helped you. What do you sense and feel when people now don't feel alone? How have you seen that show up in the work that you do?
I say, you know, the things that you think, do, and say, it's really hard to get aware of them if you can't even talk about them, mm-hmm. if you can't put it out there. Like, we can do it internally and put it on paper all day long, but that release, and I know you do a lot of work with, you know, kind of the body and releasing yeah. things from your body, to me, having that conversation is a form of releasing that. And so if you can't have that conversation, it's really hard to dig in and get aware. And awareness is the biggest piece. So once people start feeling comfortable, or even just hearing other people talk about it, then they can go, oh, okay, it's okay that I'm like this. I'm not broken. I need to look at some things and get aware of some things and maybe make some adjustments so that I can feel better myself. Plus, I think when you hear, you know, my life is completely different. I may not be over it. I might have a mini meltdown on the beach, but my life is completely different my husband's life is completely different than it was 8 years ago when I was struggling with that. And so I think having and being able to hear that someone else's life has changed, someone else's life has changed because of the work, then that's encouraging. That goes, oh, I can do this. I think believing in yourself is really the foundation of change. Believing that you can change is the foundation.
How do you help other people start to believe in themselves to get to working through these things that don't serve them anymore?
Well, you know, my dad wasn't able to teach me a lot of lessons as I was growing up, but before he died, before he passed away, as we were having conversations, one of the lessons that he really taught me was, even though I'd heard it, you know, there's two sides to every story. There's three sides to every story. Being open to maybe there's another explanation. And so I talk about the power of one a lot, O-N-E, open to new explanations, open to new experiences, open to a new event, open to new evidence. And when you can be open and go, well, maybe, yes, I've always thought about it this way. I haven't had this belief in myself because of this. Is there maybe another story? Is there something else? Is there other evidence? A lot of times we generalize and go, all men cheat, or this is always this way. And so it's really going back to questioning, is it always that way? Or has that just been your locked in experience? Like, have you just attached to that and really held true? So once you start digging in and going, is there other evidence? So even just taking the one, all men cheat. Well, that's not true. And we know that that's not true. And so let's look at other evidence. Yes, that might be the evidence that you were shown in your formidable years or the evidence that you've seen throughout your life, but there is evidence to the contrary. So can we look at those things to kind of open that up to go, okay, now I do believe differently. I see things differently. And it gives them at least like, well, let me run through this exercise and see and really stretch myself to almost disprove. We're so in the habit of proving what we think, you know, proving, that confirmation bias that we have, like, I'm going to prove myself right no matter what. if I'm, you know, I'm going to find what I'm looking for no matter what. And so this is really going, well, let's do the opposite of that. How do we disprove? How do we disprove those thoughts that you have? Or have things changed? A lot of times, you know, how we operated when we were younger to get through the trauma or to get through some experience, we don't have to do that anymore, but we're so used to doing it. That's just the way that we operate. And it's so interesting to see that light bulb of going, well, you don't have to do it that way anymore. What if you didn't do that anymore? And then it's like almost sometimes the first time that people have thought, Oh, yeah, I don't have to. I can do something different.
That is really powerful. As I think about the permission to actually do it differently. Like that level of empowerment just shifts your whole energy, your perspective. I think about the times that I've actually asked myself, like, why am I doing this? And out of curiosity, not judgment, because I think that's a big thing that you've talked about and you share is, you know, we got to be curious. We have to ask a question from that exploration point. And then you asking yourself like, oh, I don't have to do that. Like, I just became used to it. And sometimes I think it's social environments. So have you seen that your clients have had to shift their other relationships, the people that they've connected to help them heal and move in a different direction in their lives?
Yes. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this story because it is something new. What someone in my group coaching, they just shared a recent story where they had talked, tried to have conversations with their own mom over the years about their insecurity, about their jealousy in their relationship. And for years, the mom was like, you're fine. That's ridiculous. That's just craziness. I don't want to hear about it. You need to get over this, as you were saying. Heard that over and over and over for years. as she started to do this work and as she got support from the others in the coaching program, she had the confidence to have another conversation with her mom, but this time going, hey, this is how I'm seeing things differently. And from that, her mom then shared, oh, well, here's what I dealt with as I was, you know, when wow. I was a child, and here's how I always felt. So she gave her mom permission finally to share with her. And then there's this, you know, full circle moment where that's how my mom operated. That's what I saw. And I, no matter even if it was spoken or not, I internalized that and I took on those habits.
Yeah, that's really powerful. Standing in your own truth and getting that clarity, you can literally have a ripple effect in other people's lives. And it sounds like even liberating her mother to express things that she had been holding on to. And what comes to me too is perhaps even creating this kind of protective coping mechanism of what her mother was saying, of kind of getting over it, not realizing that it wasn't serving either one of them. So that's what's so interesting about recognizing that is that was a protection her mother probably had to work through those things.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's a sense of like, well, I don't want there. It comes from love, right? I don't want my daughter to experience the same thing. I don't want her to deal with the same thing or have to suffer from the same thing. Her answer to that was go ignore it. You know, this isn't true. As much as it was out of love, you know, not helpful. But so yeah, even just seeing how that can change. And she was either 83 or 93. You know, having this conversation now, this first time of really being able to share this with someone.
And I love that too, because it's never too late. I think sometimes too, we come from a society that tells us we should have something figured out by a certain age. And I know you mentioned, you know, the 20s, the 40s, the 50s, 90, the healing that still gave to her mother in that age, right? It's never too late. And so I'm sure in your groups, in your one-on-one, in your communities, I'm sure there are individuals that are even struggling with, why didn't I figure this out earlier?
Yeah.
Or it's too late for me to change this insecurity or jealousy. How do you help someone work through that and recognizing there's still time?
Well, I think my own age helps a little with that, Nicole. I'm turning 50 next month. And so I think there is a little bit of that. I even thought it myself, even starting something new like this, like, oh, what's the point? You know, like, really? But man, you can see that, like, if I've dealt with this for decades, as painful as it is, if I have a week of feeling free, if I have a month, a year, 5 years of feeling free, give it to me all day long, you know, to be able to experience that. So to your point, it's never too late, because I know that people that are really suffering with this, or any, you know, other people suffering from other traumas, they do anything to have that one day of relief, like, just today, I don't want to feel this way. I want this relief. And so if we can give that, whether, you know, at any age, whatever age you are, having that after suffering from it so long, I think is like, we'll take it.
I love that I met you, because I didn't even know there were coaches who focused on jealousy and insecurity in this way. And I also love that you have helped individuals realize that this is natural. And so I love that you've created this platform for people to normalize experiences that we have in our lives and put, once again, language to it so you can actually work through it. What would you say to someone who is not clear on how jealousy naturally shows up and what attributes might look like? Because I sense that there's some people that may not realize that that's what's actually creating friction in their relationships, whether it's platonic or romantic.
One of the things, a good comparison, is trying to think, is this my intuition or is this fear? And so if you are having a lot of conversations with your partner that feel fear-based, and fear is much heavier feeling than mm-hmm. intuition, then I think maybe it's time to look into, well, what are some of the signs? If you aren't able to go enjoy an event because you're constantly looking and scanning the room for threats, that's probably where this jealousy is starting to affect your life. You're looking through your partner's phone, their email, looking them up on location services, those types of actual events, I would say jealousy is really taking a hold of your life. But I think most people experience it as this constant anxiety that they feel, mm-hmm. constant sick at their stomach, things like that. So I do think with us having platforms like podcasts and social media and other things where we can go, let somebody discover things on their own mm-hmm. And be able to sort of connect the dots that way much earlier than we were before.
Yes, that is for sure. Just having the access to information is one of the great things about social media. We know there's a lot of other things that we don't care for, yeah. but the self-discovery part can be really great. Now you have a program or offering around the self-regulation recipe. What is that, and what are the components of that, of helping with some kind of the challenges with emotions and in the mm-hmm. jealousy space?
Yeah. So self-regulation recipe is just one of the things that we deep dive into, especially in the one-on-one coaching. We touch on it a bit in group coaching, but so self-regulation recipe, what people who have this strong insecurity, this strong jealousy will have, you know, something happens where they think their partner looked at someone, or they are at an event with attractive people and they start to feel a certain way. They mm-hmm. start to feel like they're going to have this jealous meltdown. What I hear a lot is, and then I just overflow. Like I say things that I don't, you know, that are hurtful. I do things that I wish I didn't do. And so the self-regulation recipe is really working to first, you know this very well, we can't think straight when our nervous system is all out of whack.
Yes.
When we're all hyped up like that, we're already not thinking clearly. So part of it is, how can we calm your nervous system down just a little? Even to, okay, let me think of how I can do just one thing differently in this moment. So one of the things, we know jealousy is very powerful. And so we don't want to then do something that will make the situation worse. So then it's, do we need to go to the restroom? Do we need to splash our face with some water just to get out of that situation? So there are a lot of things. And so we offer a lot of different modalities and techniques to say, here are some things. Let's figure out what works best for you in that moment, because not everything is going to work the same for every single person, but to have a game plan. And then we really work that game plan, because if we don't practice it, when I need it in an emergency, I'm not maybe going to know how to do it well. So that's the whole self-regulation recipe of, let's find what works for you, and then let's practice the heck out of it, so that mm-hmm. when you need it, you've got it, and it's going to be like second nature. Okay, like let me get this under control.
And I love that, you know, one size doesn't fit all. And I, you know, and I love that you continue to reemphasize that, you know, we have to figure out what works for you, you know, because mm-hmm. everyone is different. And sometimes sounds cliche, but practice makes perfect. I mean, we're not going for quote unquote perfection, but knowing your tools, knowing your go-to, and knowing how to do it in a way that helps you get back to that calm, peaceful state is important. So it sounds like you're combining that, let's understand more about who you are, what's going on inside of you, and then let's figure out the tools that'll help you get back to regulating or stabilizing. And then let's practice that so that when those things come, you can get there and get there faster. And doing that over time, you are rewiring. So the intensity of those experiences and emotions start to shift. They start to decrease.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You have to work yourself through those situations and say, you know, we're not going to hit it perfectly every time. And as you said, we're never going to be perfect, but man, I've practiced it enough on mm-hmm. other things that don't seem so high stake.
So that's beautiful. Just that reminder, let's find something that may not be as intense to start mm-hmm. practicing on, that helps you build up to being able to work through the intense experiences.
Yeah, there's a piece where, you know, some of the clients and some of the people who suffer from this, we call it the security check, where they're checking the phone, they're checking the email, they're checking social media, they're checking their location. And we do that. It's baby steps. Like, let's remove one. For one client, it was constantly looking in the car console. I mean, believe it or not, they're stressed out. There's times where it's like, that's part of this whole habit of security check. I have to check here, 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 here. And so let's just remove one. You can do all the other ones for the next week or month or whatever it is. Go at it. But let's just remove that one. And that's how we start. And then soon it's that feeling of freedom. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, for me, I felt like it was a part-time job. I'm like, oh, I wish I was getting paid for this, or like, let me, you know, fire me from this job.
Yeah, I can imagine how exhausting that can be. Before we close, what's one step that you would offer to someone that they can do today to start addressing their insecurities and jealousy in relationships? As I'm sensing after hearing some of this, I think some people are like, I might be more jealous or insecure than I thought. So what's one thing you would want to leave them with today?
I think the first thing is, you know, I say you can't, you know, you can't move what's in your way unless you are aware of the things you think, do, and say. And so going through this almost like, let me think through, what are the negative things that I'm thinking? What are the negative things that I'm saying? And what are the negative things that I'm doing? So one, for me, you know, I would always question, you know, question, not because I was interested in your day, but because I'm making sure that everything lines up and it checks
ticks
out.
Ticks and ties. Yeah.
Ticks and ties. So I think just taking a quick inventory of the negative things that, or, you know, insecure things that I'm doing, because one, I think, so sometimes we're aware of them. They're pretty glaring, or we could just ask our partner and they'll tell us plenty. But some of them are a little bit more hidden, or man, I didn't realize how often I was making a snide comment, or I didn't realize how many times a day I check his phone or her phone. So just taking inventory, I think, is the first step, because that awareness, like, let's get aware, let's get a good 360 view of what this looks like. So we know, like, where can I start first?
Yeah. And it, the part that really hit home for me too was the frequency, you know? So I may like, oh yeah, I did that. But when you start to see that sitting with, like you said, that awareness, sitting with him, be like, oh wow, it wasn't one or two times. And I think that brings up kind of the feeling that you're getting back in your body of, wow, this does create anxiousness. Because I can even imagine kind of going through that list, you'll start to feel the connection to that as well. That's really, really powerful. Shannon, thank you so much for your knowledge, your wisdom on such an important topic, and just the work you're doing in the world to help people feel seen and heard in this space and healed, so they can live a fulfilling life like you're living. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And we'll make sure that all the information is in the show notes. Is there one place you'd want for people to connect with you that you want to share before we close?
Sure. So they can connect with me on Instagram at Top Self Coach. And Nicole, thank you so much. You're such a bright, cheerful, wonderful person doing a lot of amazing work for people as well. And so it's just an honor to have met you and get to know you more. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. Yes. And connect with Shannon on Instagram. This topic, like I say, I had not thought about it at this depth. And this is why doing podcasts and things are so powerful, because you don't realize who's out there to help you. So reach out if you need this support, if you need this help, or you have questions, because once again, we realize we're not alone and there is someone who's there who can help you through your journey. Thanks again, Shannon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode enriched your life. If so, please leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with others. Let's continue to grow together, transcend to new heights, and create a life that truly reflects who we are. I'll see you soon on another episode of Transcending Identity.